Noted preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick told the story of the birth of Confederate General George Pickett's baby. The story comes from the last days of the U.S. Civil War, when the Confederates locked horns with the Union soldiers outside of Richmond, Virginia. By many accounts, it was the cruelest time of the whole war. Then one night, the Confederate lines were lit up by numerous bonfires, and the Union guards discovered that the Southern troops were celebrating the birth of General Pickett's newborn baby, word of whose arrival had just reached the army. Union General Ulysses S. Grant was so moved by the event that he ordered the Union lines to help the Confederates celebrate the birth of General Pickett's baby by lighting up the scene with additional bonfires. And the next day, Grant's officers sent a graceful letter through the lines under a flag of truce, communicating to General Pickett the congratulations of his enemies. For a moment, at least, the insanity and slaughter of war stopped, and goodwill and peace prevailed, all because of the birth of a baby. Sometimes joy shows up in the most unexpected of places. Take today's gospel reading, for example. Well, actually, I want to take a step back in Luke's gospel. After his words of introduction, Luke begins the gospel with the story not just about Jesus' birth, but also that of John the Baptizer. John's father, Zechariah, was a priest serving in the Jerusalem temple. He and his wife, Elizabeth, lived in the hill country of Judea outside the city proper. Luke tells us on the day when Zechariah was chosen to be the priest who entered the holiest of holy places in the temple, he met an angel there with surprising good news. Zechariah's wife was to bear a son, which Zechariah found unbelievable given the advanced age of both him and his wife, and he told the angel so. And Zechariah learned the hard way not to argue with an angel of God. The angel stood firm on his word, and then Zechariah was struck with a case of laryngitis that lasted until his son was born. He was not even able to speak the traditional words of blessing upon exiting the holiest of holies in the temple on that day. By comparison, the next thing Luke tells us is that when Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant, an angel visited a young girl named Mary and told her she would become the mother of God's child. Her response, as we know so well, was first to ask how, and then to say meekly, "I am the Lord's servant, let it be." There is no disbelief or denial on Mary's lips. And then Mary was bustled off to stay with Elizabeth until John was born. This is where the unexpected joys are exchanged and celebrated. Not in the city of Jerusalem, not in the temple, but on the outskirts of the city, in an ordinary hill country home. A woman thought to be too old for children is pregnant. A young woman not yet married is carrying God's child, both of them likely the targets of gossip. Mary could even be stoned to death for pregnancy outside of wedlock, a transgression of religious law. But their joy in one another and in their circumstance is palpable. This is where we read words of blessing being offered, not by a priest in a temple, but by a woman in her home. This is where prophetic words are offered, words that pronounce not only God's goodness and justice for the poor, but words that proclaim it has already come to pass. I fear that because our culture is so very different from Elizabeth and Mary's, that we don't fully appreciate how extraordinary this documented conversation is. Because here we stand or sit in a United Methodist church where you are listening to a woman preacher. But in the days of Elizabeth and Mary, little Jewish girls did not attend Torah school, did not have the opportunity to study scripture. They didn't apprentice to trades. They learned from their mothers how to cook and clean, how to spin and weave, how to tend to the babies and support their husbands. Luke wrote at the outset of his gospel, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And then Luke begins telling this story that says, with the coming of Jesus, women were also recognized to be priests and prophets. How remarkable. Do you see that? From the first verses, Luke says, this story, this good news will change everything you think you know about God, starting with who God chooses to entrust the good news of Jesus' birth. The gospel is good news of great joy for anyone who has ever felt like they sit on the outside looking in, for anyone who has ever been made to feel less than, for anyone who feels neglected or forgotten, or as if they have nothing to give. I want to tell you a story. I want to share to you a story that I found in the news this week, a story about Grażyna Słowiński. She's Polish. Polish, my goodness, words here. She is Polish. She has made it her life's work to help people whom society has cast off. She lives in Krakow in Poland. She is a special education teacher preparing her students to work with disabled persons. And she also volunteers at the Dominican Basilica of the Holy Trinity in Krakow with a group of Roman Catholic laypersons who seek to build relationships with the disabled community. But all that changed for her in February of 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. Maybe you remember your Eastern European geography. Ukraine and Poland share a border. Słowiński quit her job and moved to Ukraine in February 2022, knowing that however difficult war is for a healthy person, for someone with a physical disability, war presents even greater challenges. Even before the war, Ukraine lacked some of the accessible infrastructure common in Western countries. And as the bombing began, people who could evacuate to bomb shelters and basements, but those are maybe inaccessible to persons with mobility issues. Słowiński is one of a group of volunteers helping evacuate the ill and the elderly and others with limited mobility to safety. And then in January of this year, Słowiński was in the Donetsk province of eastern Ukraine helping deliver traditional Christmas foods and a sense of normalcy to those who had not evacuated. The region at that time had no heat in many homes, no running water, no electricity. Those who remained in the area included many children and those without family to care for them. And while she was there, Słowiński was struck by a mortar shell, and as a result, her right leg was amputated just below the knee. She returned home to Poland for a few months of treatment and rehabilitation, and then she came back to Ukraine, where she continues to work, bringing the disabled to safety. And she finds reasons to rejoice every day. A local businessman has donated the use of an apartment for volunteers like herself. Their crowdsourced campaign always seems to have the right amount of money just when they need it most, and the needs are great. They need fuel to travel around the region and transport people to safe places, and they deliver firewood and food to the families who are trying to survive another harsh Ukrainian winter. She's been honored with a Good Samaritan Award in her home country, but she remains committed to living and working in Ukraine and to bringing hope to those most challenged by nearly 2 years of war. Joy in unexpected places, from unexpected sources. I invite you in this season that can be so busy, that can be so full of expectations, to slow down and to watch and to listen for the unmistakable signs of God's inbreaking in the world, the unmistakable places where hope is rising, where peace is prevailing, where joy is bubbling up. If joy can break through civil war battle lines and Ukrainian war zones, if joy can come to an old woman and a young girl in occupied Palestine, joy can be found anywhere, all around us. When you catch those glimpses, pause to take them in, to say a word of thanks to God, both for the unexpected joys and for the eyes to see them with. And then maybe even contemplate the ways you can share joy to others in your world. Amen.